The 2020 season countdown continues, this time speaking with South Barwon coach Dave Farrell. Faz, thanks for joining us in the K-Rock studio ahead of season 2020. I just want to touch on last year. Firstly, you probably don't want to hear too much about season 2019 after, of course, winning a final in 2018, just half a step backwards, unfortunately, with a 9-9 win-loss record. But I suspect there's a steely resolve up at McDonald Reserve to ensure that there's a couple of steps forward again after the giant leap you took in your first year.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny. Thanks for having me. Certainly enjoy talking footy with you, and probably on the back foot a little bit straight up there. But no, I don't shy away from that. So I think, as everyone does at the end of any season, they look at where they went well and where they need to improve. So certainly very aware of our finish. Looked back at the year before, and maybe when you come to negotiating contracts and things like that, you look at those positives. But as realists at our footy club and our coaching group, we certainly don't shy away from the fact that we weren't competitive for long enough against those top sides, and to play finals consistently, we need to find some improvement.
I spoke with the Geelong West boys last week, the GDFL boys, Mitch White and Andrew Clark, and they were similar to you, sort of jumped up out of the pack, played finals, won a final and took half a step back. And I asked them about whether the club didn't deal with the expectation well, and they spoke about they probably didn't recruit as well as they could have. Were you able to put your finger on why you took a step back?
Yeah, I suppose every club's different, and the way each coaching group would approach it would be different. We thought that we'd only added our player retention after 2018 was outstanding. We added some experience and some quality players into the group, and thought there'd be some natural progression. I certainly put some additional pressure on myself and the coaching group and the players to continue that improvement. For reasons that we clearly understand internally, that wasn't there last year. But I think local footy is a funny thing. There's nobody can get across to all games every week, so you rely a lot on whether you're reading the paper here in the media or someone tells you to be fact. Really for us it's about what we can control and how we perceive it internally. I think the playing group got a really clear understanding on where we went wrong last year and what we need to do to fix that. So it's exciting. I think if we had just limped into the finals and certainly the health of the list wasn't great, but had we limped into the finals and that probably could have set us back a little bit more rather than miss out and be really hungry coming into this pre-season. So yeah, we think we're in a position to relaunch.
You must have thought coaching was a really good caper in 2018 and then last year you get a bit of a reality check.
Yeah, I suppose there's a healthy ego attached to coaching, and going into the job, I thought I was really well prepared. After the first year, I thought I knew everything. After the second year, I clearly have learnt a hell of a lot, and even through this pre-season, I'm continuing to learn. Happy to take on any feedback from our playing group, our really well-experienced and highly credentialed staff, constantly reviewing what we're doing and stuff. So I think you never know what you don't know, and that's been clear for me over the last 2 years. I feel like I've developed a hell of a lot. So,
yep. Do you, in terms of GFL senior coaching experience, you're a youngish coach. Do you lean on people outside of the South Barwon bubble to talk about? And I suppose when you get into a season like you had last year, where the expectation was you would improve on 2018, and it doesn't happen, do you find yourself, consulting with people, and I suppose being able to vent in a way?
Yeah, I don't know if vent's the right word. I think there's frustrations that probably, if you're not a senior coach, you don't necessarily understand. Our coaching group's really collaborative, so those guys take on a lot of responsibility that other senior coaches probably need to take on themselves. So I've been lucky in that sense that the group around me that support me directly have a really good understanding of what the role involves, and we break that down. As far as externally, I think if you love the game and been around local footy long enough, you're always talking footy, and whether it's people just showing a general interest in what you're doing or what the club's doing, or it's, for me, it's interested in what other clubs are doing and other people are doing and always looking to learn, you're constantly doing that. Probably the one that personally have been fantastic for me has probably been Dale Amos. Every time I sit down and speak to him, he just draws things out of me and doesn't feel like he's sitting there lecturing me. But I've been lucky enough to work with some pretty outstanding coaches over a long period of time now that are all open to a chat or whatever. And I think the relationship I've got with most of those guys is it's sharing. It's not them. It doesn't feel like I'm going back to school. Let me sit down and have a chat.
So it's not a lecture.
Yep.
Yeah. Fair enough. Good stuff. You were 0-8 versus top five teams. 9-1 versus the non top five. That's the glaring stat out of last year, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And there's always a winner and a loser. So for us, it's. Yeah, making sure. The year before, we looked at it and probably still competing with those top three sides. It's been a two-year journey for us so far, and competing against those top three sides has probably been our biggest challenge. We've been in games for periods of time. Probably don't need to try and outstat you, but St Mary's that went on to win it, we were in a very comfortable position at half time against them, might have been around five, and weren't able to capitalise on that. Maybe that sets up a different end to the season for both of us.
Turns their season around,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, we can take some credit for that, I suppose. So,
yeah. Surely you've given Keastie and Robbo a call and said, look, you don't win round five.
Yeah,
none of these miracles happen.
No, I think they were well across what their season looked like from there, and their guys responded really well after half time. So I'm sure they that was a line in the sand moment for them as well. So they certainly relaunched and did a super job after that.
You used 32 players last year, and you probably as a footy club don't want to be using more than 35 or 36. But did you not have enough depth last year?
Whether we did have enough depth or made poor selection decisions on review at times, I think when you go through those 32, there might be nine that didn't play more than 8 or 9 games through injury. And so it was probably limited, but whether we were prepared enough to take a chance on some guys or present opportunities to others, that's something that we've been really aware of since. And I don't think with the season we had in regards to the health of our list, 32 players isn't reflective of that, and certainly something that be really aware of going forward in selection.
Let's have a look at your list changes. Inns, very quiet. You've probably been one of the quieter GFL clubs in terms of Inns. Fraser Duray, you announced early coming down from Albury, and Mickey Luxford, he's going to return after having another crack at basketball. But we know how talented he is. Obviously played a couple of senior games with Geelong, spent some time at Essendon on the VFL list, but you'll have him full time.
Yeah, yep. He's a fantastic inclusion. So he's got a healthy cheekiness about him, I suppose, which you would have seen firsthand. But
just
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, yep. But he's just, he fills whether it be the training track or a room with plenty of energy and a smile all the time. So, the boys were rapt to have him back. Fraser Duray has moved down for university. There was a bit of a connection through a very good mate of mine, his uncle. So that's how that sort of introduction came about, and he's really keen to further his footy. He had an opportunity at Werribee VFL through pre-season, which was great to expose him to that program, especially as an 18-year-old coming out of the Albury system. Yeah. In regards to other inclusions, we've got probably 8 new players into the group. So we call Lux new, although returning. Tate Buchanan falls into that category as well, returning after a year away. But for the most exciting part for us is that we've got 16 of last year's Colts. They played off in a preliminary final at Colts level last year. We've got 16 of those that have signed on and matured through to senior footy this year. So we're in a really healthy position in regards to players coming into our program. It's going to be about trying to find opportunities for all of them. So, okay. Really healthy, I think.
Some names that we should keep an eye out for. I know, obviously, you don't want to individualise, but yeah. there'll be no doubt a couple that we'll see wearing the red, white and blue for the first time at senior level in round one?
Yeah, 100%. What your round one team looks like, even only a couple of weeks out now. I don't reckon anyone's really settled on what that looks like. Certainly injuries play a part in that, and little niggly things that happen at this time of year with guys having heavy loads. But potentially there could be 6 or 7 guys that didn't play. I think the last tend to have a play with the magnet board at times, but maybe I think there'll be 8 blokes play that played 6 or less games last year. So whether they're new or returning, but for mine, look, Mitch Troy has been our Colts coach for the last 3 years, done an amazing job with that group coming through. He's pretty blunt and fairly direct at times with them, but he's prepared those 16 coming through for senior footy, as well as I've seen any coach do it at local level. And I would expect that there's a good half dozen of those that will figure in the front half of the season, which is really exciting for us.
Right. Any at the Falcons?
No, Louis Page was recently part of a list adjustment there, but he's showing great upside. He's joined the senior program at this stage, still as a 17-year-old, so he's got another year or another more opportunity down at the Falcons if we can continue to do our job and improve him. So really excited to see what he does coming back off a pre-season with the guys down there.
You have got one person down at the Falcons doing some work, but not as a player. Will Sexton, I suppose, is working on his coaching. His footy's obviously been crueled by injury in recent years. I think he might have played 8 or 9 games last year, but I understand he won't play any footy in 2020.
Nah, so Secco's as tough as they come, what he's gone through and his resilience, I suppose everyone in Geelong's pretty well across. Really talented player, but more importantly, his character's shone through in the last few years. He keeps himself busier than anyone his age I know in regards to some work that he's and his own business that he's set up. He's working with women's footy. He's been in a position through pre-season where he's helped with our senior group and also our Colts group. His injury looked really innocuous at the time, just at St Albans. Someone fell across his leg. He managed to get up, take his kick, and then turned out after scans confirming that both his ankle and knee needed reconstruction. So, the way he goes about and carries himself, he deserves every opportunity he gets, and I reckon Brendan would be very lucky to have him in the program down there.
Absolutely. Not many left from the 2013 Premiership. Trent Richards is one of those few, but he won't be playing footy potentially ever again.
No, I'd pretty confidently say that'll be the case at the moment. So he's another one that these young guys seem to get busier and busier, much more than I was at their age. But he's working for himself a bit at the moment. He's just moved into a new home, getting married, all those sorts of things. He's training with us full time at the moment, which is really great for us. But the decision he's come to is there's so many great things happening for him outside of footy that to put himself in a position where he puts that at risk with another head knock, he's decided not to. So we'll continue to involve him through training and match day roles going forward. He's too good a person at the club to not keep busy.
Poor Darcy Hanson, been captain the last couple of years and really hasn't got a run at it, unfortunately, with injury. Where's he at, and will we see him play some football at some stage this year?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to stop him, I don't think. So last year, his ankle operation hadn't gone to plan, and we knew leading into the season that he wasn't healthy in regards to where his ankle was at, but with what the other injuries and how our list stacked up, we put it on him to play the first half of the year, and then we'd reassess from there. And he was taking all sorts of pain medication to get through and manage his body at that stage. So it was pretty hard to watch him do that, but he does with everything, puts others first, and he was outstanding in that regard. He has had an absolute ripping pre-season. He was straight line running before Christmas. He came back post a mini pre-season. He completed over our break and was in the top three in the run, and he's changed his body shape, and yeah, I'm pretty excited to see what he brings. I think he's one player that people forget the level he got to, because he's had two pretty grueling years, but his best footy's pretty outstanding, I reckon. So
yep, so he'll captain you again?
Yep. Yep, really excited too. So that was an unanimous vote. We have had a change in leadership group. We've got 6 leaders and 3 new ones in that group, which is really exciting for us. We've retained other leaders in the club that'll mentor those and support those new leaders. But Dar setting that up fills me full of confidence.
Yep, fantastic. Just in terms of other list movement, just in some outs, Reece Woods has retired after a cracking career. He's been an absolute star for a heck of a long time with South. You lose a few as well. Andrew Jarvis decided to go back to Ocean Grove after 1 year. Was it something he grappled with, or was he fairly adamant that he was going back to the Grubbers?
I suppose they came at him pretty hard. He's enormously highly regarded down there, as he was within our group. They really set up around him and had become fairly reliant on him, so I think it was going to be hard for him to say no when they pulled at the heartstrings that hard. He also had a change in vocation that meant GFL footy was going to be a little bit harder to commit to, so that's how they came about. Woodsy, as you mentioned, has been fantastic for a very, very long time, and he's hard to keep away as well, so he's continued to train with us one night a week and will through the season, more in a mentoring role, we're really excited about that he'll continue to strengthen our group through that.
Yep. Brett Blair's got out to Motawarri along with Daniel McCaskill, who's a Motta boy. Mitch Rodd who you didn't see a great deal of during his alignment with, obviously, North Melbourne. He had some injuries. He's going to play at Uni Blacks. Josh Saunders back to South Warrnambool after just a year. Dom Sliwa will play at Buninyong in the Central Highlands League. I think he might have played 8 or 9 games of senior footy last year. So you're confident the list is still going to be competitive in terms of you'll have the depth and, you know, can cover the injuries if you get them during the year?
Yeah, I guess this time of year is a funny time. It's exciting because our group is full of energy. They're ready to take the season on. We've had plenty of match simulation intra-club. We've started our practice match schedule now. So we think we're in a really good position, but at the same time, acutely aware of how strong the competition is and other sides improving. So I'll be able to answer that question better in a few months' time, yeah. I guess. So.
You've already played Barwon Heads and Koroit back at Smarsh to finish off at Oakdean Estate. Do they play for the Dave Farrell Cup when you play Barwon Heads?
No, I think long forgotten. So
your first month, tricky is how you would describe it. St Albans, who are going to be a bit of an unknown with the losses they've had, seeing off no Sam Michael, no McKenzie, no Hayden Elliott. Then you've got Colac, St Joseph's on Anzac Day, and I don't think you've beaten them on Anzac Day since 2013. And then I think it's going to be an improved Lara. If you're going to have a month where you're going to find out where you're at, I think that's the month right there.
Yeah, there you are with the stats again. from our perspective,
I'll do it with every coach gets their first month ready out.
The challenge, yeah. Now, I guess that first month it's full of unknowns. Who settles first? Who gels the best as a new side? And even looking from the outside in at some of these other clubs that have been consistent performers in the top three or four, there's still lots of list changes and stuff like that. So for everyone, it's about how quickly you settle, the buy-in from the playing group and all those sorts of things. So don't see ourselves any different from there and know every week's a challenge.
Third year in the job, out of contract at the end of the year. Have you started talking to the club about next year, or do you leave that discussion open for and keep it fluid throughout 2020?
Yeah, I don't think that's for me to drive. From a position that we're in at the moment, I'm enormously proud of our footy club. Certainly the work that gets done outside of it. We're constantly reminding the senior group, I suppose, that we're a really small percentage of an enormous club. South Barwon now, I believe, has the highest number of football players or participants. Their netball program's been outstanding for ages. They've expanded on the women's and girls' footy program. So we understand the part we play in that. For me right now, I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I'm consulted in decisions. It's not for me to make the decisions, but consulted in decisions that could set the club up for a long time. So to answer your question in a very long-winded way, right now my plan is to coach there forever and making decisions based on the best thing for the club. And in saying that, if I'm not there next year and it's deemed to not be the best thing for the club, I hope I leave it in a better place. So, yeah, really comfortable with that. And don't imagine we'll have many discussions further to that until the end of the year.
Well, Faz, really appreciate you coming in. We wish you the best of luck for season 2020 and look forward to talking footy to you throughout the year.
Thanks, Kingy. I look forward to that too.
Dave Farrell joining us there from South Barwon. Next in our season countdown series, Drysdale co-coaches Daniel Jell and Luke Matthews.